Blog Talk Radio.
For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to the Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Helder. I am the co-pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Apostle Speaks. But unfortunately, Apostle Mother Wiggins will not be with us this morning, so I will bring the word this morning. And as I want to remind you that we will not be airing on Saturday mornings after the 24th. So the 24th of December will be our last day of airing on Saturday mornings. But we will be on from Tuesdays to Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Amen. To God be the glory. So at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God,
Amen. Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. To God be the glory. Now it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled Love and Hope. Praise be to God. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from John chapter 15, verse 12. And it says, love one another just as I have loved you. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. The writer says, to love others in Jesus' name gives hope and meaning to your life. When you know you're making a difference in someone else's life, when you can see that your gifts are valued, when your words of encouragement falls on appreciative ears, and when your acceptance of another person's creates a friendship or helps them mature in their faith, you have a sense of purpose in your life. You have a desire to love more and to extend yourself further because you see the good fruit it produces. Amen? And in that, there is hope. You look forward to tomorrow because you know God can work through you. On the other hand, if you isolate yourself and turn inward, refusing to acknowledge the hands that are reaching out to you or rejecting the encouragement that others offer you, you will become increasingly depressed and may feel that your life is worthless and has no meaning. But it doesn't have to be that way. Loving others is the most hope-filled thing you can do because Jesus is actively working through you. So turn your focus outward and watch what he can do through your caring heart. You'll be amazed at how truly impactful your life can be. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is always unto me. Let us pray. Jesus, help me minister to others with your love so I may find the purpose for which you created me. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this morning. And now it is time to say good morning to Father God.
doesn't matter how long that be till day. The Lord knows my heart anyway, so just
says in Romans 10:14-15 in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. After the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God.
I want you to put your mind and your focus on the Spirit of God. Allow His Spirit to come into your heart.
Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Don't hold on. He's the power. holy mountain, for he's a jealous God. Bow down to the great I am, for he's a holy God. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. So
God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Amen? That's Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Amen? Praise God. And I am reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. Amen? And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. So you see, praise God, praise God. So in Luke's gospel, Luke is the only gospel writer who related the events he recorded to world history. His account was addressed to a predominantly Greek audience that would have been interested in and familiar with the political situation. Palestine was under the rule of the Roman Empire with Emperor Caesar Augustus, the first Roman emperor in charge. The Roman rulers, considered to be like gods, stood in contrast to the tiny baby in a manger, who was truly God in the flesh. So a census was taken to aid military constrictions or tax collection. The Jews weren't required to serve in the Roman army, but they could avoid paying taxes. They could not avoid paying taxes. Augustus' decree went out in God's perfect timing, and according to God's perfect plan to bring his son into the world. So the Romans ruled the civilized world at this time. By contrast, Joseph controlled very little against his better judgment and political convictions. He complied with the Roman order to make a long trip just to pay his taxes. Isn't it so easy for us now? All we have to do is just go downstairs to the accountant and file our taxes. His fiancée, who had to go with him, was about to give birth, all in God's plan. The Romans were in control insofar as human authority can get its way by exerting human power, but the Romans did not recognize their limitations in reality. So God controls the world. In all times and places, he works his will. By the decree of Emperor Augustus, Jesus was born in the very town prophesied for his birth in Micah 5 and 2. So even though his parents did not live there, Joseph and Mary were both descendants of David. The Old Testament is filled with prophecies that the Messiah would be born in David's royal line. Rome made the decree just as God intended. Amen? But sometimes we think to ourselves, I'm being obedient, so why aren't things going better? We face discomfort or inconvenience and immediately think into that we have misread God's will or that God made a mistake. God don't make mistakes. Amen? But watch this quiet couple as they head toward Bethlehem. God did not soften Joseph's bumpy road, but strengthening him. God did not provide a luxurious inn for Joseph and Mary, but brought his son into the world in humble surroundings. When we do God's will, we are not guaranteed comfort and convenience. Amen? But we are promised that everything, even discomfort and inconvenience, has meaning in God's plan. He will guide you and provide all you need, just like Joseph. Live each day by faith, trusting that God is in control. Amen? So, strips of cloth were used to keep a baby warm and give him a sense of security. These cloths were believed to protect his internal organs. The custom of wrapping infants this way is still practiced in many Mideastern countries. Even today, after we mothers give birth, and we take a blanket and we wrap it around and snug our little one into the blanket to protect its organs and the baby. Amen? So this mention of the manger is the basis for traditional belief that Jesus was born in a stable. Stables were often caves with feeding troughs, mangers carved into the rock walls. Despite popular Christmas card pictures, the surroundings were dark and dirty. This was not the atmosphere the Jews expected as the birthplace of the Messiah King. They thought their promised Messiah would be born in royal surroundings, as we should not limit God by our expectations. He is at work wherever he is needed in our sin-darkened and dirty world. Amen? So although our first picture of Jesus is as a baby in a manger, it must not be our last. The Christ child in the manger is the subject of a beautiful Christmas scene. But we must not leave him there. This tiny, helpless baby lived an amazing life, died for us, ascended to heaven, and will return to earth as King of Kings. Christ will rule the world and judge all people according to their decisions about him. Do you still picture Jesus as a baby in a manger, or he your Lord? Make sure you don't underestimate Jesus. Let him grow up in your life. Amen? Praise be to God. And that is just a little background on the birth of Jesus according to Luke. Praise God. We take so much of God's nature for granted. We really believe that he not only loves us, but he also loves the world. God loves his people, and furthermore, he loves his enemies. The fact that God loves the whole world is a New Testament concept. Nowhere in the Old Testament does it say that God loved the whole world. It is implied, but never stated. This revolutionary idea sprang into theology full-blown in the life of Jesus. Amen? He both personified that idea and demonstrated it. Thus, the candle of love we light tonight is the last of the four candles of the Advent wreath. It shines brightly with the candles of hope, peace, and joy. We also light the center candle representing Christ. Let us look now at our text and see the qualities of this candle called love. Praise be to God. So my text for this message is coming from Luke chapter 2, verse 5, from the NIV version. And it says, Joseph went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And my title for this message is The Candle of Love. Let's talk a little bit about the promise of love. The census required by Caesar Augustus was a familiar event in the Roman Empire. A censor was taken every 14 years. Each family was required to return to its tribal headquarters. So Joseph took Mary with him to Bethlehem, a journey of about 80 miles. That's a long ways to travel on a mule. Travelers of Joseph's day knew nothing of our modern system and modern systems of hotels and motels. Amen? Accommodations were primitive. Thus, Mary and Joseph were not shocked or angry when the innkeeper suggested a place in the stable. The fact that there was no room for them in the inn was symbolic of Jesus' life. People's hearts were overcrowded throughout his earthly ministry, and that condition still exists today. He is continually put out in the barn because there is no room for him in the main house. Amen? Think about it now. There was no room in the inn for him, so he ended up in the barn. And even today, in some of our homes, there's still no room for him. So he is outside the house. Our text says that Mary in Luke 2 and 5 was expecting a child. Mary had received this promise of God with both incredibleness and faith. When the angel told her she would bear a son, she responded in Luke 1 and 34 in the NIV, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Her question did not indicate rejection of the idea, but rather that it was a mystery to her. When the angel explained how the promise of God would be accomplished, she responded in faith. Amen? In Luke 1 and 38, in the NIV says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." This is what Mary's response to the angel. So Mary's obedience represented devoted love. It was obvious to her that she had been given a very great honor. She adopted the attitude of, "Whatever God says, I will accept." If only all of God's servants would have this attitude. Joseph also responded to God's promise with love. God was promising to restore the kingdom of Joseph's forefather, David. It was as obvious to Joseph as it was to Mary that God cared for him deeply. Although Mary and Joseph did not understand all that was involved in God's law, they really accepted their part in the drama of the incarnation. They were determined to be worthy of the trust that God had placed in them. Amen? And that is what we should be doing today. God still places such trust in humankind today. We, too, must determine to be worthy of God's promise of love. Hallelujah. Now, the power of love. So we talked about the power, the promise of love. So now we're going to talk about the power of love. Love is certainly the most powerful of all human emotions. It compels people to do illogical things. Love will make a man rush into a burning building to save his family. Love will make a soldier sacrifice his life on a battlefield for his country. Love will cause parents to undergo many hard sacrifices for their children. None of these actions make sense to a person who does not know how to love deeply. Amen? Think about it. But all of this is only human love. Amen? Praise God. Godly love is deeper and stronger than human love. Joseph loved Mary, and Mary loved Joseph, and they both loved God. But God's love for Mary and Joseph was the same love he has for the whole world. God's love is so strong that all of human history is centered around this one event. Before the foundations of the earth, God had already determined to bring Christ into the world to save us from our sins. The first Christmas was predestined before Adam and Eve. The star, the magi, the shepherds, the inn, and the manger were all in God's mind as he dealt with Abraham, Moses, David, and Isaiah. And all of this was the result of God's powerful love. It was the power of God's love that compelled him to take on human flesh and die on a cross again to the non-believers. Such love seems like nonsense, but therein lies the unexplainable power of love. Now, the pinnacle of love. In Luke 2, 6 and 7, where it says, "And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there were no lodging available for them." So the Christmas story reached its pinnacle. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. The focal point of God's love was now centered in one person, Jesus. History had never been at a higher point. Never before had heaven witnessed so great a demonstration of the majesty of God's love than was accomplished at Bethlehem. This zenith of love brought music to heaven. The excitement of God's activity was becoming more understandable to both angels and humankind. The night was split by heaven's rejoicing. Angels appeared to shepherds and announced the advent of the Good Shepherd. An unnatural and unexplainable star appeared to kings in the east and led them to the King of Kings. God had become fully man and yet was still fully God. And love was the reason. Love knows its pinnacle of expression when a gift is given to symbolize the depth of one's love. At Christmas, we give gifts to many people. Sometimes we give a gift to a fellow employee, but it seldom compares to the gift we give to a family member. The cost of the gift and the thought behind the gift are often directly related to the depth of our love. The gift of God at Christmas was such a gift. The depth of his love is seen in the birth of Jesus. God sacrificed more than we can ever know to provide this gift for us. He who was never dependent on anyone or anything became a baby who was dependent on two individuals for his food, clothing, shelter, training, and health. Such sacrificial love is beyond human comprehension. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So you see, the fullness of time was now come when God would send forth his son, made of a woman and made under the law. The circumstances of his birth were very mean. Christ was born at an inn. He came into the world to sojourn here for a while, as at an inn, and to teach us to do likewise. We are become by sin like an outcast infant, helpless and forlorn. And such a one was Christ. He well knew how unwilling we are to be meanly logged, clothed, or fed, how we desire to have our children decorated and indulged, how apt the poor are to envy the rich, and how prone the rich to disdain the poor. But when we, by faith, view the Son of God being made man and lying in a manger, our vanity ambitions, the envies are checked. We cannot, with this object rightly before us, seek great things for ourselves or our children. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say that God acts for our love in return. He calls on us to sacrifice our plans and desire for him, to return a measure of his love to him. God knows we can never match his love, and he is not unreasonable in his demand, but he does ask us to give him our lives, our talents and possessions, and our time. The true child of God will willingly respond to God's love. He outgives us as he outloves us. Our calling is not to match his love. It is to respond with love. Do you love God? Think about that. And how do you show that love? By answering these questions, you will show how deep your love for God really is. I truly hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. The candle of love. Luke 2, 1 through 7. Amen. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. So if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you got to do is to ask and pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church. Amen? And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25, and it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To our God, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. And now it is time for our psalmist who's going to come and present our poem for this morning. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Thank you, God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Father. God bless you, Miss Barbara. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed and highly favored, Miss Hilda. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Praise God.
I'll be coming from the profundity of God, a spiritual anthology and poetry. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes.
This is a poem entitled, Who is This God and What Is He to You? And I know you've heard this a number of times, but I think it's appropriate for the season.
Amen.
Who is this God? And what is he to you? That's the question for today. Only you know and can answer for yourself. However, this is what I have to say. God is love. You can feel him when you love. God is hope. He can resolve all issues too. God is a spirit to be felt by anyone, anywhere, everywhere, all at the same time. God is pure, tried, faithful, and true. In fact, God is divine. He does things, it seems, sometimes in elements of surprise. But when God is in your life, you just say that God is awesome, that he's supremely sublime. He's everything to me. I'm glad I'm his child forever and forever for life. I can't begin to imagine living this life without God. I don't even want to try. These are some of the reasons I love God like I do. He can do for me what he's done for others. You've seen it. This we all know is true. So I said how I feel. I turn it over now to you. I ask you, who is this God and what is he to you?
We're done?
Yeah, done.
Wow. I was just getting into it. I was sitting here and I dropped my arms up on the table.
That's the end of it.
Oh, my God. Truly, truly, I would not want to even think about not having God in my life.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I wouldn't even have a life if it was not for him.
That's right. It's unimaginable what it would be without him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My Lord.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to find out. I don't ever want to know what it would be like. I'm just so grateful. So humble, so thankful that he is in my life.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Hallelujah. I tell you, Lord. I don't know how people can do it or how they feel without having him in their lives. They have to realize that, you know, everything is in his power. He wakes us up. He provides for us. We don't do it on our own.
They don't know that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't, but I pray for them that one day they will say, what must I do to be saved?
They will. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess.
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner or later.
I pray that it's sooner than later. Thank you, God. Thank you. Such a beautiful, beautiful day that we have this today after all that rain and wind. A little windy, though. Yeah, but
the not wind as windy is... like Christmas.
Oh, no, not like yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before?
I don't know, but yesterday was not as windy as I expected it to be.
Right, because they were saying 40 to 50 miles an hour. I mean, like
rain.
Yeah. Well, we got the rain.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It wasn't so bad around here, but.
No, wasn't bad here either. But I think, like, upstate New York and Jersey got it worse than we do, which they always do.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're closer to the storms and everything. So now I'm going to close us out of the Apostle Speak. So at this time, I will play a selection. And after the selection, we will come back with the second part of our program for this morning.
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory.
Belong to you. I can't help
Praise be to God. Okay, so today we're starting our third day of reflections on the life and light of Christ. And today's lesson is, well, not really lesson, but today's reflection is the guiding light. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. The text for this message is coming from Genesis 1 and 3. And it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And again, the title, Guiding Light. The writer says, the restaurant was lovely, but dark. Only one small candle flickering on every table. To create light, diners use their smartphones to read their menus, look to their table mates, and even to see what they were eating. Finally, a patron quietly pushed back his chair, walked over to a waiter, and asked a simple question. Could you turn on the light? Before long, a warm ceiling light flashed on, and the room erupted with applause, but also with laughter and happy chatter and thanks and thank yous. My friend's husband turned off his phone, picked up his utensils, and spoke for us all. Let there be light now. That's it. Our gloomy evening turned festive with the flicker of a switch. But how much more important to know the real source of true light. On the first day when God created the universe, he spoke the astonishing words, let there be light. And there was light in Genesis 1 and 3. Then God saw that the light was good in verse 4. Light expresses God's great love for us. His light points us to Jesus, the light of the world, John 8 and 12, who guides us from the gloom of sin. Walking in his light, we find a bright path to a life that glorifies the Son. He's the world's brightest gift. As he shines, may we walk his way. Amen. That is so, so beautiful. God, the guiding light. So in what situations do you need Christ's light to shine? And when has his light guided you? Two questions to think about. Amen? So let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for Jesus, the light of the world, and the guiding light of his great love. Amen, amen, and amen. And now you have to tune in on Tuesday for number four, day four, rather. Okay, so here's some prayers. Who can add to Christmas? The perfect motive is that God so loved the world. The perfect gift is that he gave his only son. And the only requirement is to believe in him. The reward of faith is that you shall have everlasting life. Tony Evans says, Jesus is the light who reveals spiritual life. He is the light of life that cannot be said of anybody else. Amen. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. For God, who said in 2 Corinthians 4:6, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Patricia Raybon said, may we expect and experience the Messiah bringing fresh light, life, and help into our daily journey with him. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. Max Lucado said, when Christ was born, so was our hope. To God be the glory for the reading of his word. Amen. And at this time, for the next 34 minutes, I will play inspirational music, and we'll be reading Walking in Grace. Praise be to God. Bread of Life by Fred Hammond.
Bread of life sent down from glory.
Yes,
many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Bread
sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. You are the living
awesome ruler.
what we like to call you, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah.
Amen. Praise be to God. Today, our message is, we beheld his glory, the light shining in the darkness. In John 1 and 5 in the NIV says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. And the writer says, I do not have a lighthouse collection. My husband, Kevin, uttered the phrase every time he opened another present at Christmas time to find a lighthouse. The collection had been started by a church secretary who gifted him with several lighthouses after Kevin preached a series on being a light in the dark world. As other people visit his office, they saw the unofficial collection and, when given the chance, added to it. Now, after 35 years of pastoring, Kevin declared the Lighthouse Collection would not move with him into a new office. This one could go on the Christmas tree. I said as I helped him pack, I lifted a small wind chime from the giveaway box. The lantern pane glowed with bright yellow paint above a black and white taped tower. From the foundation swung four metal chimes. It was the ugly duckling of lighthouses compared to its elaborate neighbors. Take what you want. At home, I hung the lighthouse on the lowest branch of our Christmas tree. Our year-old granddaughter, Jupiter, watched with interest as the chimes swayed with movement, tinkling out their melody. Throughout the rest of the Christmas season, whenever I turned my back, Jupiter crawled over to the tree and jostled the branches so that the lighthouse would jingle. She ignored the wrapped presents, bright lights, and shiny ornaments, focusing on a simple wooden lighthouse that did not belong in a collection, but had finally found its way home on our tree. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Light of the world, help me shine with your light this Christmas, even in places I feel I don't belong. Amen, amen, and amen. And again, at this time, I will play another selection because our God is awesome. Amen.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say. If you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Think about it. Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
To
today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice and say it.
That your giving may be in secret. Amen. Praise be to God. Sure, our kids believe in Santa when they were young. We believe too. We believe that there could be a power of goodness outside of ourselves and of generosity and gift giving. Santa was never a character in the church Christmas pageant. But honoring the birth of Jesus is something worth celebrating. Carol singing, lighting the Advent candles, saying prayers every night, asking for your heart's content, and then always on the night before Christmas, leaving a glass of milk out for Santa in case he wanted it. There were moments when we did not quite cover our tracks. A 7-year-old William observed one Christmas morning that Santa seemed to have the same wrapping paper that we use. Interesting indeed. But the exchange that sticks in my mind most was when our son Tim was 4. We had gone to church the evening before. And on Christmas morning, after opening the presents, I was taking the trash down to the basement with Tim. "Daddy," he said with great thoughtfulness, "I know that you and Mom are Santa." A long pause. "Is that true?" I gazed into his inquiring eyes. I wasn't going to lie. "Yes," I said, "that's true." He took it in, then stopped. "You're teasing me," he said, not quite ready to give up the myth. We left it there for another year or two. Santa is named for a real saint, Saint Nicholas, who lived in the late third and early fourth centuries. He is said to have rescued girls from human trafficking and miraculously calming a storm at sea. He also was famous for gift giving in secret, like we do every Christmas in honor of God's gift to us all. No lie. Let us pray. Jesus, between us, just between us, God, I will give. No one else should ever have to know. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. And at this time, we have 15 more minutes, and I will play "Every Praise Belongs to God." Hallelujah, Jesus.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Praise.
Amen. Praise God. John 15:9 in the ESV Bible says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. I held the baby against my chest as my rocker arched to and fro. But he continued to cry, not a whimper, but a red face, real tears, all out wails. This little one was comfortable with me. I mentioned his mama, Al. I had been in his life since his beginning. But he wasn't feeling well. Mama would be back soon. But every moment was one moment too long. I stood. I moved him to my shoulders, swayed. No help for this little mister. Until Mama returned, once he was in her arms, the crying ceased. He rested, tiny face pressed into the curve of her, his fists unclenched, cheeks stained red, returned to pink. Her presence brought peace. It reminds me of the time in God's word when two sisters waited for the peace of Jesus' presence when their brother Lazarus was ill. But Jesus did not arrive until Lazarus was in the grave. Martha met him with anguish. Jesus, she said, if you had been here, he would not have died. The sisters had longed for a healing, but Jesus called Lazarus from the grave, and they received the resurrection. The presence of Jesus is like that, always more powerful than we can imagine. It changes circumstances and soul. I often succumb to worry over my loved ones or over a tough circumstance. I cannot see the end of it. My soul cries like a babe, needing comfort. When I'm so disturbed that I'm distraughted, I can be sure that I have not practiced being in the presence of Jesus. He brings hope. He works in ways I cannot fathom. Trusting the presence of Jesus is training myself to receive peace. With the little one lost in sweet slumber, his mama and I sat and visited. The rocker creaked as soft and gently as our words. Presence changes everything. Jesus, your presence quiets me. Amen. Praise be to God. And we got 3 minutes and 20-some seconds, and I just want to remind everyone that next Saturday will be the last Saturday that I will be broadcasting on Saturday, but we will be from Tuesday to Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m., but Saturdays I have to let go because it's starting to affect my health. So with regret, we won't be on Saturdays anymore. So at this time, I just want to be filled up with God's love. Amen. By Tasha Cobbs.
Come on, let the sound of worship be released from your lips. You provide the spirit, you provide.
God be the glory, and it has been a wonderful journey with you on Saturday mornings. But unfortunately, I have to let go of Saturdays. It's too much on my body, and it's too much on my plate. So I will be on Pray One for Another from Tuesdays to Fridays. I'm going to truly miss each and every one of you, but I will still be on Tuesday to Friday so you can still hear my wonderful voice. Praise be to God. So I just want to say God bless you all. And it really has been a journey from I have been on from 2011, and we're now going into getting ready to go into 2023. That's a long time. So, but I will, like I say,
thank you for your dedication and your devotion to doing all of it, but especially for the Saturday morning. Thank you for that.
Thank
you. It hasn't been
showing up in the spirit and being with me, just giving me that support when nobody else would. You were always there for me. So I'm just so grateful and so humble to you for just, you know, supporting me and being here with me when everybody, you know, had to go into different vineyards, and you...
Yeah, change happens in life, and so this is another change.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's been a pleasure, and it's been a growing experience.
Yes.
You know, so thank you. Thank you for all of that.
Thank
God
you.
God bless you.
God bless you, too, and I love all of my Facebook friends and YouTube and Instagram, or however you, Block Talk Radio, however you all listen to Pray One for Another. But we are still on, just that we will no longer be airing on Saturdays. Amen? So we're Tuesdays through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Praise be to God. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful afternoon. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And if you have to go out, bundle up.
That's right. That's right. And stay safe.
Yes.
Love you. Hugs and kisses.
Love you too. Hugs and kisses right back at you. And
listen, listen, you're welcome. I don't know if I'll be on tomorrow. I have something to do. And I'll see. It might be kind of tight.
Okay.
But I'll let Lady Nadine know too.
All right.
Thank you.
She won't call out your name. Because then you know everybody is waiting for that poem.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They look forward to hearing that the poetry every Sunday.
Well, bless the Lord. That's good.
To us, that's a treat. I was like, I have my paper already, just waiting to hear what's going
Thank
on.
Thank you, Evangeline. Thank you so much.
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, I didn't say anything, Siri. I'm sorry. You know, she's so sensitive. Even when you don't call her, she appears.
That's mm-hmm. ready to help.
Absolutely. I love her for that.
That's great. So enjoy your day. Stay safe and stay warm and cozy, okay?
I'll try. I have to go walk my baby now, so it's going to be a little chilly out there. But we all
give him a hug for me.
I will. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Love you. Have a good one.
Love you too.
And on that note, we are...